Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Men in Science Podcast. I was planning on doing a different episode than the one that this is going to be, but I decided, you know what, this is a subject I've been wanting to talk about for a while, and it is another mental health awareness episode, and this one is about the influence of social media on one's mental health. I, of course, am very active on social media. There's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat. I used to be active on Tumblr, but not so much anymore. For the most part, I try to limit my activity because, you know, especially years ago, I used to be a lot more active than I currently am. And I used to spend a little too much time on social media, and I've tried my best to try to slow that down, because I've seen over the last few years especially what social media can do to someone's mental health, because a lot of especially younger people that as some people would describe it, living on social media and living a social media life rather than their real life can have such a significant impact on their real life and what it does to their mental status. Especially because, like, there's the Social Dilemma documentary. I haven't watched it yet. I've been told it's a very eye-opening experience to watch, and eventually I will get to that. This isn't necessarily inspired or influenced by that, but, you know, that is playing in the back of my mind for this. The gist of it, from what I understand, it talks about how, you know, people spend too much time on their phones and on social media, and that you know, just spending just so many hours on there, just, you know, wanting that instant gratification of, like, oh, look how many likes this, you know, this tweet got, how many retweets this got, how many hearts that I got on this Instagram post, how many reactions that I got on this Facebook post, and how many people are watching my snaps on Snapchat and things like that, and especially for younger people, like I said, that live and want to be, you know, social media influencers, you know, they don't realize that. They don't realize the damage that can cause to their health, their mental health, because, you know, wanting that instant gratification and those instant results of, you know, all right, I'm going to post this photo and then, boom, I'm going to get this many likes, I'm going to get this many comments, and then you set that in your head, and then when you don't achieve that right away, it can fuck with your head a little bit, you know? You know, that's why I'm happy that I'm not a social media influencer, and that's why I'm happy that over in recent years, especially this year, I've really tried to not let social media run my life. I run my social media life. Social media life does not run me. And I wish a lot of younger people would try to adopt that mindset, because I've seen the negative impact that can have on some people. Yeah, I remember MTV True Life. I don't know if they still have True Life. I haven't watched MTV in a very long time. But there was one that they had. It was two people that are supposedly, you know, social media, you know, personalities. One of them was a popular YouTube personality, so she had a legit following. Another one was just some kid in high school that happened to have a lot of followers on Instagram, so he thought he was a big deal. So, and he would post photos at least, you know, a selfie at least once a day. And there was one thing that I remember, one part of it that I remember, I can't remember specifically what he was saying, but just basically that he was, like, essentially having almost an anxiety attack over how he had not posted something in, like, 2 hours. And it's like, oh, I need to post something so that my followers know that I'm okay. And it's like, that is not a good mentality to have. It's like, you know, and your followers, they'll be there, you know, no matter what, you know, some of them, you know, some of them might leave, whatever, but it's like, those followers, most of them don't know who the hell you are, and honestly, a lot of them couldn't care less who you are, you know. I know, like, I have a lot of pages that follow me on social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Vero, I know a lot of them could not care less about anything going on in my life. I mean, I'm followed by the band Korn on Twitter. You really think that they give a shit what goes on in my life? No. Excuse me. But that is the power that social media has over people these days. Because in the last decade, social media has become almost a necessity of life. You know, at least in the United States. I don't know how it is in other countries. You know, although like I have a lot of, you know, social media friends and acquaintances that live in other countries, but in the United States specifically, I've seen what social media can do to somebody, what it can do to their lifestyle, what it can do to their behaviors, and how much it can change them for the good in some cases, but in more often than not for the worse, you know, for the bad. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, those older people like, oh, kids these days, blah, blah, blah. But I do see it more in the younger generations because, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have social media. Social media became a thing, you know, when I was finishing high school. You know, I graduated high school 2006, and, you know, social media was still in its infancy. You know, there was Friendster, there was MySpace, and Facebook was still just a little thing. You know, it wasn't what it would blow up to be, you know, some years later, you know, from 2009 to now, where social media is everything. You know, you need to have a social media, what's the right word for it? Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I can't think of it at the moment. It's really fucking with my head right now, trying to think of the right word. Shit, I can't think of it, but I'm sure somebody knows what I'm trying to say. That having, you know, being on, just simply existing on social media, you know, that is almost a requirement, and I hate that that's how it is. And I also see the irony of me even doing this on YouTube, on other podcast platforms, because that is social media. So I realized the irony in me even doing this podcast that I will be sharing on my social media to get people to watch or listen to this. Presence, that's the word I was looking for. Social media presence. That, and especially for celebrities, you know, celebrities, they use social media is used to promote their projects, whether it be film, television, music, books that they're working on, you know, interviews, appearances on shows and or podcasts. You know, that's what social media is. You know, it's used as a promotional tool. And for me, I try not to use it too much as a promotional tool. Although, I mean, this year especially, I've, you know, been using it a lot for promotional, more, you know, trying to promote mental health resources through AFSP and other organizations. You know, I try not to promote too much of anything that has to do with me personally, other than the podcast, whenever I do upload something. But I've really tried very hard not to live on social media like a lot of people do. You know, and there's some celebrities that they, you know, they do have their social media presence, but they are not, you know, they're not on it 24/7 like other people would be. I mean, like I only just recently got into Johnny Depp, following him on his Instagram. I don't know if he's on other... I don't remember if he's on Facebook or Twitter, but I know he's on Instagram, and he only just recently got into it as well. But he doesn't, you know, post a lot of stuff. He mostly posts, you know, him doing music or just talking about things, you know. So, because he's not necessarily anti-social, as far as I can tell. But, you know, he's not someone who has to post something every single day, multiple times a day, to, you know, get that instant gratification. Sorry, I had something right there. But, you know, the instant gratification of just, you know, I have to post this so that people can know exactly what I'm doing. I gotta share these pictures of my food so that people know what I'm eating, even though, really, who gives a shit what you're eating? I have to share this picture of me on a lounge bench, you know, by the sunset with this glass of wine to let people know I have such a wonderful life, and try to pretend that it's nothing. I couldn't care less, you know. But a lot of people live for those kind of things, especially like with celebrities. Like if you're the kind of person who lives for these celebrities, and you know, you follow every single thing that they do through their social medias, and you know that you have to follow, like, oh, you know, like, this person shared this photo, I have to, you know, I'm gonna share it on my page to let people know, like, oh, this is what this person is doing, that's what they're doing, and it's like it becomes an obsession, and that's just so mentally unhealthy. And you know, mental, you know, the unhealthy stuff mentally can eventually manifest into physical, you know, health issues, which, you know, eventually I'll get to into a more detailed podcast about that later on. But for this one, just again, like, the influence that social media has on our everyday life now is so unhealthy, and just so, like, it's like I miss the way it was years ago, like when I was growing up, that we didn't have social media, you know, and like when like for my brothers and I, when we were children, growing up, when we were kids, when we were, you know, teenagers and adolescents, or whatever you prefer to say, you know, our social media was the friends that we had in the neighborhoods that we grew up in. Yeah, I know there are still people out there who prefer that, and that's wonderful. I would love to see a lot more of that, but the generations, you know, after mine that have come along, a lot of them, their social life is through social media. You know, again, through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram, through Snapchat, through Tumblr, through Twitch, through YouTube. And it's like, and those can be wonderful tools, you know, of interaction with friends and family and, you know, other people that you meet along the way. I mean, social media, I've met a lot of wonderful people through social media. And, you know, for the most part, that is the only way I'm able to communicate with those people. And I've, you know, been trying my best to make it so that social media is not the only way I can communicate, but that is unfortunately how it is in a lot of cases. And it's just very unfortunate. I wish it wasn't that way. And that's if one day I'm fortunate enough to become a father and have children, and I know social media is still going to exist, it is always going to be there, the power that it has, it's never going to go away. Trending hashtags, and you know, follow me at this or follow me at that, you know, subscribe to this, subscribe to that, stay in touch using this hashtag and blah blah, like that's not gonna go away anytime soon, at all. I'm pretty sure long after I'm gone from this world, those social media will still be the powerhouse that it is. I can only hope though that it will be a much healthier form of social media, because the toxicity on social media can be so overwhelming and so heartbreaking and so, in some cases, even traumatizing, like, you know, especially on Twitter. Twitter is probably the worst, you know, like, I'm more active on Twitter now than I used to be, but at the same time, I'm not, if that makes any sense, and hopefully somebody understands what I mean by that. When social media was created, however many years ago, when the idea, concept of it first started, I guess, like, when I was growing up, like, you know, my earliest, I guess, experience with social media were the AOL chat rooms, you know, America Online, if anyone remembers those, those chat rooms. That was, you know, my earliest example of social media, you know, and then came, you know, Friendster and MySpace and Facebook, and there was one called Tagged that I was on for a while. I think there was even one called FooBar. I don't know if that's still around. There's so many different social medias that are out there. How many of them that still exist, I don't know. But the main ones are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Those are the big four. That's the Mount Rushmore of social media. But me and, like, I'm on all four of those, and I'm on Vero, and I very much prefer Vero because it is not toxic, and it is not, you know, full of hate and anger and so much disgusting things like it is on Twitter. Because Twitter, I see that Twitter brings out the worst in a lot of people, particularly when it comes to discussions of politics or comic book franchises. Which, funny that I see it more with the comic book franchises, you know, Marvel, DC, you know, the different versions of Marvel, you know, whether it's MCU or the Fox, you know, X-Men Marvel Universe, the Sony Marvel Universe with the Spider-Man films and their spin-off films like Venom and Morbius, and the butting of heads for that, and then with the DC fandom, all the different versions of the different characters that we've seen over the years, people butting heads over that, and rather than just having simple disagreements on the characters, people use those as an excuse to go on personal attacks on some of these people, and that is, I hate that it always boils down to that. You know, Star Wars fans as well, it gets that way, you know. You know, where you have the fans of the original trilogy versus fans of the prequel trilogy versus fans of the sequel trilogy, you know, the fans of everything else with regarding to Star Wars, and just, you know, I'm someone who is neutral on all of those. I'm neutral with DC, I'm neutral, finger popped, I'm neutral with Marvel, I'm neutral with Star Wars. I love every version of every story from all of those universes I can enjoy. Because there's something in all of them that I can appreciate, you know. Like for all the Star Wars movies, you know, for the main nine Star Wars movies from, you know, the original trilogies, prequels, and the sequels. Regardless of whether I think the films overall are good or bad, I can find something about every single one of them that I enjoy. And then same with DC movies, like all the Superman films, you know, from the original from 1978, Superman 2, Superman 3, Superman 4, Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman Robin, Dark Knight Trilogy, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Aquaman. I can, you know, and then all the films of the MCU, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films, and Marvel Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the X-Men franchise, Fantastic Four movies, all of those things. I can find something about them that I can enjoy even a little bit. Because, and regardless if I think the film is good overall, like the 2015 Fantastic Four movie, I do not like the film as a whole, but I enjoy the visual effects, at least, for the design of the thing. I do enjoy that. So that's one compliment I can give that. Yeah, and so that's, you know, one example that I can give. And just, you know, so I don't, and if somebody that, you know, like if I give a criticism on anything from the MCU, even if it's a valid criticism, I often get attacked by people on Twitter for that. One tweet that I remember putting out a while back, where just sharing my own individual opinion of the Spider-Man films, I said that Tobey Maguire had the best films, Andrew Garfield gave the best performance, and Tom Holland needs to have a movie that doesn't have any of the Avengers to drive the story. And then I close it with saying, that's just my opinion. And I had people from all different sides of the Spider-Man fandom coming at me. Simply because they can't accept that somebody has a differing opinion. And that is the toxicity that social media has given these people with fandoms. In these fandoms, you know, whether it's Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, different anime fandoms, just any kind of fandom, regardless of what it is. Social media has allowed these people to have a voice, and a lot of them don't use that voice for anything positive. A lot of them get off on being hateful and spewing hatred and negativity towards other people simply for having a differing opinion and idea than they do. What they don't realize is that some of the things that they say, because again, like I said, a lot of them like to go on personal attacks, like the. You know, and it's happened to me a lot on Facebook also. Like, I'll comment on something on a Facebook group or on a post from a Facebook page, And if I just simply disagree with something that somebody says, they'll scroll through my Facebook page and they'll take certain photos where, yeah, I might not be looking my best, you know, and they'll use that to go on a personal attack on me. And, you know, for the most part, I'll brush it off, but then when they keep on going and they keep poking, that's when I eventually just, I start to, you know, or another one that I can think of, the Justice Con, you know, that happened back in July. Wonderful event, by the way. During one of the panels, I believe it was the diversity panel that was on, a great panel, probably my favorite one outside besides Ray Fisher and Zack Snyder's panel during that weekend. And there was one person in the live chat that made a comment of, you know, saying that the Marvel movies are gay. And I just simply said, we don't use that kind of language here. Please refrain from that. I was polite. I was respectful. And then that person decided to harass me the rest of the time by tagging me, calling me homophobic. Simply because I said, refrain from using that gay as an insult. Which is something I've just always felt. I've always felt that way for, well, I won't say always felt that way, but when I became more aware of, you know, things like that, you know, I've grown to just say, you know, don't use gay as an insult, because it's just not right. And I was not in any way disrespectful towards that individual, but me making that one little innocent comment, he took that as, I'm gonna harass you, I'm gonna call you homophobic, I'm gonna keep on tagging you in these comments saying you're homophobic, and it kept on for several minutes. And I was trying to ignore it, but because that's all I kept seeing, my name tagged in the chat every few seconds, that eventually I blocked the guy because I just couldn't deal with it, and it was pissing me off to the point where I almost left the whole thing. And, you know, and I hate that person almost had that power over me by just with that one little thing. That it almost had that much of an impact on me mentally. And but again, that's the power that social media can have, and that is the influence that social media can have on all of us. You know, a lot of us, we might think that we are stronger and we are better than that, we can take it, but even the strongest among us can crumble. You know, we all have our breaking points. And it's just, And I go back to a video from Zachary Levi at the New York Comic Con that the Faruqi brothers had shared on their YouTube channel, and they so generously gave me permission to use on my Wonder Woman podcast that I did 2 years ago, where he talked about saying, you know, people are going on you know, Twitter and social media to, you know, spread this hate and negativity towards each other. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, saying, like, you know, why do people need to do that? You don't need to do that. And then, you know, have respect for me as a human being and treat me like a human being. And let's remember that we are all human beings. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially it's like, yeah, have respect for me as a human being and treat me as such. You know, because you never know what the other person is going through. You know, you never know what's going on in that individual's life. You know, whether you're the one that is spreading the hate or the one that is receiving the hate. You don't know what's going on in their life. They don't know what's going on in your life. So it's probably best to just either leave them be, don't engage, or consider that whatever you're saying might have an impact on them that you might not expect. Yeah, because you just never know. You know, I've even had, you know, not to sound like I'm bragging or being or stroking my ego or anything like that, because anyone who knows me knows that I hate being praised and you know cheered for anything, you know, because I don't like being praised for anything, honestly. I just don't like it, you know. I mean, it's sweet if somebody wants to say something nice to me or compliment me or whatever, but, you know, never mind. I've And again, anyone who does follow me on my, you know, Instagram or Vero or other social media, you see that I do share a lot of, you know, mental health awareness stuff, you know, shared through the AFSP, and, you know, sharing different things for charities and, you know, other fundraisers and things of that such. And, you know, I've a few people that they, you know, will compliment me and, you know, for that, and they will praise me for doing that work, and it's like I appreciate that, but you know, the real way that you could, you know, show appreciation is to help contribute to these campaigns, is how I see it. You know, that's the praise and appreciation that I would prefer. You know, contribute to these campaigns, help create these resources, you know, for people struggling with mental illness. Don't give me any praise, because I'm just one person. You know, I'm just one person, and you know, these organizations do so much more than what I can ever do. You know, I'm simply just putting the information out there, sharing these resources with others. They are the ones who get the resources to the people who need them most. So you know, don't praise me. Claim or appreciation or whatever you can do is to contribute to these campaigns, which I do have links to a few of those in the description for this episode. You know, the Autumn Snyder Tribute Fund for Zack Snyder and Deborah Snyder and their family in honor of Autumn Snyder, their daughter who tragically took her own life in 2017. And that is raising money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the birthday fundraiser that I have on my Facebook, for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention as well. That one I have that campaign open until February 28th. So, and there's, you know, $105 raised for that one so far with a $1,000 goal. It's wonderful. But there's also a lot of other great campaigns that other people, you know, in my little Snyder Cut community and fandom, that they have going on, you know, campaigns through Ink to the People, campaigns directly through the AFSP. And those are all the ways that you can contribute and help. And, you know, again, don't praise me or give me any credit. I don't need it. The real praise and credit goes to the AFSP and these other organizations that help people with mental illness and who are struggling with their mental health and struggling with thoughts of suicide and, you know, the pain that comes with that. You know, they are the heroes, not me. Yeah, but and that is the good side of social media that I like, that we're able to start open these dialogues, create these conversations about mental illness, and help each other to create a more peaceful environment. And I am hopeful that eventually all of social media can be that way. And yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Minute Tides podcast. I hope you all enjoyed hearing me ramble on for the last half hour. Hope you all are staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, and enjoying this holiday season so far. And please subscribe to the Minute Tides podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. The direct links will be in the description of this episode, as they always are. And follow me on my social media if you would like to continue the conversation about mental health. My Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, all those are in the description as well. Or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video if you'd like. Again, the Autumn Snyder Tribute Fund link is in the description as well, and my birthday fundraiser link is in there too. The GoFundMe link to my friend Julie is still active and you know, happily taking donations if you can. And you know, you can also check out my Patreon, my store, my podcast store. All those direct links are in there too. And just again, I love and appreciate every single one of you who subscribe, who like, and share, and watch, and listen to this, because I don't do this for me. I do this for everybody who, for whatever reason, likes hearing me talk about these things. And, you know, hopefully I'll be able to have more conversations with more people in the very near future. And this has been the Men in Tights Podcast. I am Julian. And I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.